We're going to read from God's Word, from the New Testament, from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, and we're going to read from verse 17 to the end of the chapter, verse 38. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. This is the Apostle Paul. For when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me, but none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship." We thank God for the reading of his word. Father God, thank you that you're a giving God and generous. And thank you that you give generosity to your people. And as we give now our tithes and free will gifts and offerings to you, we pray that you would use them to your glory, to your praise. And as we continue in prayer, Lord God, we pray for ourselves as we meet like this evening, that you would draw near to us. We thank you, Lord, great searcher of hearts, that you know every circumstance that we face in our lives, each one. And thank you for your gracious sympathy and love and kindness to us, that you show and manifest yourself daily. Thank you that every situation here represented is known by you. We know some of us face trials and difficulties. some uncertainties with the future, all unknown, but Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. So our hearts are comforted with the knowledge, Lord God, that you know everything. Nothing is hidden from your sight. All eyes are open. Your eyes are open to us with whom we have to do. Nothing is hidden from you, Lord. Thank you for this. We pray that we may be found obedient to you and to your word with a sincere heart this evening. We pray for everyone gathered here, for the youngest to the oldest, with all those motivations and desires within. Pray, Lord God, that each of us may own you, Lord, and yield to your sovereign sway in our lives. And we thank you that many of us who have journeyed this Christian pathway have proved you to be a great and glorious God, faithful in all your ways. You are good, and what you do is good. And we cannot doubt this, for we have experienced this at first hand. We thank you for that. Thank you for your dealings with this church over the years, for the pastoral placement of last year, and the ministry of Tom this year. We thank you for this and give you praise, O Lord. And pray for him and Catherine as they're on holiday with little Reuben, that you would bless them and refresh them and use them greatly in coming days, months and years to your glory. Pray for the young people's work as it goes into summer recess, that, Lord God, you would bless those youngsters, particularly those who plan to go to camp, and may that be a great blessing and strengthening. And as the clubs reconvene later in a month or so's time, that none may be lost who have been regular attenders, Lord God, and there may be a greater hunger and a desire for you from the hearts of young people that this church ministers to. And bless that your servants, as they take a bit of a rest and prepare themselves for other duties such as camp that's coming shortly, we pray your blessing upon them, Lord God. Amen. We thank you for the outreach that Tom and Mark have been able to fulfill on the streets of Belvedere. We thank you for opportunities to speak to this one and that. And may that be a growing blessing and encouragement leading to salvation of those not seeking you, but you seeking them and bringing them into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Pray for every Christian here. Enable them, enable us to be witnesses of our Lord in every situation you place us, Lord, that we may not be ashamed to speak and to stand for Christ in our day. Lord, as the day grows darker and in spiritual terms more doleful, nevertheless, may we not be ashamed to witness for him who loved us and gave himself for us. We commend the work of Grace Baptist Mission to you. We thank you for blessing and encouragement, Lord. We thank you for the church at Derby Road, Watford, that willingly yields its pastor into missionary service. And we pray for Tom and Lucy Forian as they prepare themselves for ministry in Paris. We thank you for our dear brother and sister, and that the mission have recognized their gifts and calling and are involved in fellowship in enabling them to serve you in France. Please bless them, Lord God. Bless the church at Derby Road, Watford. We thank you there is a replacement pastor there to serve your church. We give you thanks for this. We pray too for Chris Hawthorne of St. John's Wood Road Baptist Church, who is seeking to serve you in Zambia, in Proclamation Zambia, in 2018. and pray that you would provide for him and his family as they seek to relocate to Africa. And pray for the church at St. John's Wood Road that's known great blessing in recent years to have a replacement pastor to continue in service there in north central London. We thank you for Chris and Helen. Please commend them to you and their family, O Lord, as they contemplate this momentous move. So we thank you for men who are offering in service to you with the work of GBM, and we thank you for their sponsorship of these ministries in Paris on the one hand and Zambia in the other. So thank you, Lord. So do provide, we pray, for these needs, O God. We thank you for Kester Putman and the work he's doing with literature ministry, and pray for him that you would use him greatly to your glory, and the radio work also that's in tandem with the literature. So Father God, we have much to thank you for and to pray for with the work of mission with GBM. So please bless that work greatly. And help us as we seek to serve you in 2017. O Lord our God, we sense that the day is short. Our Lord's return is near. Yeah. Let us work while there's still light, for night comes when no one can work. So hear us now. Be with us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. We turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. And I would refer you to this passage in the scriptures. Now, goodbyes are never easy, are they? I'm sure we all recognize that to be so. You finish college and graduate and say goodbye to your fellow students, and it's likely that you'll not see them again. A day of goodbyes. It may be that you've worked for a school or a company for many years, and now the time is to leave and to say goodbye. Mike knows exactly what I'm talking about. You have a leaving due. A presentation is made. You've made friends at work, and now it's goodbye. Well, of course, there are levels of pain here. Goodbye from spiritual leaders are often the most difficult, and I speak from experience. Time came when I left my first pastorate at Surrey Gardens Mission. I'd been there nearly 6 years. And the treasurer said, "I'm praying that you'll not leave." But I did. And then leaving Hope Chapel after 20 years ministry was painful. And retiring from Highbury Baptist Church after 13 years was not easy. We're going to think about the farewells of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. This morning we considered one of the forgotten Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are those words that have often introduced our Lord's words in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6. The one we considered this morning was in the light of the doubts of John the Baptist. "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." It's not a well-known beatitude, but a beatitude it is. Here is where happiness lies: not to be offended by the Lord Jesus. Well, we're going to see another beatitude, part of that farewell of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian elders. It must have been a tremendously painful time for them. And this is what we read in Acts 20 and verse 35. "I've shown you in every way by laboring like this, you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It's more blessed to give than to receive. The other forgotten beatitude. Now, this is quite clearly spoken by our Lord because the Apostle Paul says it is. But interestingly, it's not found in the gospel narratives. So it's likely that Luke, I should think, the historian, shared this with Paul of this statement that our Lord made. Certainly, we can clearly believe that our Lord did say this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, some have used this verse solely in monetary terms. They've thought about this only and solely in terms of financial giving to the Lord's treasury. Well, certainly it can be understood that way, but I don't look at this verse in quite that way. I see it in a far more broader context than that. Paul is reflecting on his ministry with the Ephesian elders, and he's laid bare his heart in a way that is quite staggering, really. Some pastors, you know, don't share their hearts. It comes as a bit of a shock when they do. And here, Pastor Paul is doing just this. He's sharing his heart with us. For I've not shunned, verse 27, for example, I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And he knows there is going to be painful times for the church at Ephesus. For verse 29, I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. So we would say to him, Paul, why are you then leaving? He's leaving because he is constrained by the Holy Spirit to leave. And therefore he gives this solemn charge in verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So he's bearing his heart in a way that is quite rare. So it's not merely to be seen as an incentive to financial giving. It can be used like that and has been used like that. But it's far more powerful than just relating to our bank account. Far more searching than just related to our resources. As I thought about this and reflected upon it, I do believe that this is a statement that relates to our motives, why we do things, and how we are if we are Christian people. The motives is that which drives us, which motivates us. One of the most challenging verses there is to be found in this area is in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. And this is what we read. As for you, my son Solomon, know that the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So here, the words of the Lord Jesus, not recorded in the gospel narratives, but recorded here by the Apostle Paul in his farewell. And he said, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. What brevity is here? Just 9 words. But how profound they are. How deep they are. And we do well to reflect upon these words deeply, because they have a wealth of challenge and meaning for us all. Here, another beatitude. Blessed is the one who is not offended at me. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So many seeking blessing. So many are seeking happiness and contentment and not finding it. Well, here is the way of blessing and here is the way of contentment. Well, I want to look at this under several headings with you. I think you can almost anticipate me preaching sometimes. There's a kind of template that I use in preaching. I'm sorry if you get bored with that. It's just how I am, really. Four things to say. Four things to think about. Firstly, the philosophy that reveals everything. The philosophy that reveals everything. This beatitude, I would suggest to you, turns current thinking and behavior on its head. To give rather than to receive is so contrary to our world today, we can truly say that this text is counter-cultural. The world takes, the world grabs, the world exploits. I must resist the temptation to cynicism. However, aren't we confronted in the commercial world often, us householders, with those who are trying to exploit? No disrespect to Lee here, I'm not talking about him, but others who come knocking on our door says, I've got a wonderful deal for you. We're doing roofs this week and I can give you a special deal. Lots of your neighbours have employed us to fix their roofs. And one came to me this week to say just that. And he says, I can give you a knockdown price of £750. I said, sorry, I'm not interested. And actually, it was a bit of a con because no other neighbour had employed him. So I get a bit cynical about this. A friend of mine, you may know him, Michael Bentley, reported in his Facebook page, he had someone turn up unannounced, cold calling on his doorstep with his manager to sell him a new roof. And he wouldn't leave. He would not leave. And Michael had to gently close the door on them because, sorry, not interested. What does the world say with respect to these cold callers? Blessed are those who grab, who exploit, who take. Here's a pet hate of mine. I go to shop at a corner shop to purchase some goods, and the person behind the counter is on the phone. He or she never puts the phone down, never stops the conversation, takes my money with no buy or leave and no comment. And there they are, continuing the conversation still. I almost feel like saying, and I have done on occasion, no, finish your conversation first, then serve me. Behind this philosophy, sorry to say this, they would say it's more blessed to take than to give. But here these words are spoken by the Apostle Paul, and it seems to me he's saying this as a philosophy for every Christian to take on board. He is saying this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so our Lord's words here, as quoted by Paul, summarizes Paul's ministry, and they have a relevance for today, have they not? And this is a relevant message for every Christian as he or she looks at their lives and weighs up their response to this message. And I would suggest to you, friends, that you ask yourself this question of yourself: is this my philosophy? To give rather than to receive. Here is what is meant when we talk of being others-centered. How strange this sounds, doesn't it, in our culture today? It sounds strange. And I say this to you, my dear friends: the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ alone produces this, nothing else. A new heart, this and this alone, can produce this blessing. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And who is it who makes us givers rather than receivers? It's our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus, in the gospel, who comes to us. So, my friends, this is a philosophy, I would suggest to you, that reveals everything. Everything. And the second thing I like to say is this: here is the promise that applies to everything. Here is a promise that applies to everything. So the context of this quote, of course, of Jesus by the Apostle Paul is his goodbye. He's saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. It must have been very sad. Well, this is a sad comment he makes, does he not, in verse 25. You see verse 25? See what he says here? And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Oh, that cut, that wounded. And you can imagine, can't you, their response at the end of this farewell. Verse 37, then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. There is a time for everything, says Ecclesiastes. A time to say hello, a time to say goodbye. And this was one of those times. Here then, I suggest to you, is Paul's summary of his ministry and his service for the Lord. It has not been money driven. Here is the antidote to the scandal of the Health, Wealth and Prosperity Brigade. Paul has seen this blessing in his own life. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And Paul would almost add to that: and I know that for myself. I've been truly happy and truly blessed, because the Lord has enabled me to experience this myself. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, Lord, thank you that not only do I know that your word is true, I've experienced it for myself. It's a wonderful thing. the blessing of this verse says this: if you're seeking to honour the Lord Jesus Christ and put him first in your life without reservation and without two fingers crossed behind your back, you are going to be blessed if you are others-centred and commit yourself to this life of giving rather than receiving. You will be blessed. In other words, you will be happy. You'll be happy in knowing you know the presence and blessing of God through the Lord Jesus. What can be better than this? What would you give in exchange for this? The topmost blessing of all: to know the blessing and presence of God. Nothing is better than this, is it? If you only live for yourself and for material things and accruing material things, frankly, let me say this, your life will be diminished and you will be unhappy. So who would vote for that? Do you wish for this? Think of this beatitude for yourself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The promise that applies to everything. Thirdly, the principle that confounds everything. Have you met those kind of people whose whole life's motivation is to serve themselves and not others? Not very attractive people, these, are they? You can't say that your heart goes out to life's takers rather than life's givers, can you? Now, we can say, surely, this ought never to be seen in Christian ministry. But having 45 years of ministry behind me, I can say sadly, it has been seen. Sadly. It's where what we would call where expediency rules. Expediency is that which I will only do that which serves my interests and works out best for me. Expediency essentially is self-centered. And for the expedient person, it's more blessed to take. To grab than to receive. Sad, but true. And those, sadly, who've been in Christian ministry, who've been motivated by expediency, their service, frankly, has resulted in barrenness. Paul never served the Lord as to what he could get out of it. Not at all. And he will say this very frankly, again, bearing his heart. Verse 33, I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I've shown you in every way by labouring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Many years ago, a church secretary was talking with me. His church I knew quite well. I'd been at his church during college days. And that church had become pastorless. And the church secretary was talking to me about his experiences. They were hearing potential candidates for the ministry. The process had only begun. It was in its extremely early stages, and they were hearing men with a potential to be potential candidates. But even in the early on process, he was telling me, preachers often asked him, yes, and what would be the holiday entitlement? And can you tell me if there's any pension arrangements and salary? Can you give me some indication? I couldn't believe it. I heard him. I thought, what? How contrary to this, the attitude of Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I know men need to be supported in ministry, of course, but that's way down on the list of priorities, way down. It surprised me, actually. I'm thinking about this. I'd started at Highbury, and Morris Wade forgot to pay me. He said, and I had to go and see him. It's rather embarrassing. Can you imagine how embarrassed I was? He said, oh, sorry, we haven't had a pastor for 4 years. So that was all right. But those considerations really are quite low down on the list. They are. We're here to serve others, not to serve ourselves. We're here to help the weak, the fragile, and the needy. It's not just money. Christian brothers and sisters, in serving Jesus, you and I are to give everything based upon this principle. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We've just bought our daughter a pill box. She has quite a lot of pills to take because of her condition. And she puts these pills in these little pill boxes, and it's itemized during the day and during the week. They are small compartments, of course. Compartments, very small compartments. And you know, friends, Christians can become snared by considering the Christian life in terms of compartmentalizing. What do I mean by that? Well, they think, well, I look at my life. There's my work life and my family life and my hobby kind of life, my interests, my private life. These are all compartments. Oh, yes, I have my church life. I have Sunday. Yes, I can give God maybe 2 hours, 3 hours a week, maybe. It's all in a compartment, all neatly packed away. What I say to this, my friends, do away with compartments. Do away with the lot. Amen. Because I would say, as I look at my life and as you look at your life, we say this, do we not? Jesus Christ is Lord. Because I tell you this, and I've seen this at first hand, and it's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Those who succumb to the error of compartmentalizing run the high road to hypocrisy. It's true. We say no to compartmentalizing. We say yes to Jesus as Lord. Why? Because this is what he said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You'll be more happy, more contented, more integrated, more fruitful, more blessed. Our time is his time. All we have is his. I remember before we went to Hope Chapel, and my wife and I are in bed together, and we say, Lord, we give this house to you. We give it to you. And he took it and gave us back again. Jim Elliot said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain that which he cannot lose. The principle that confounds everything. And fourthly, lastly, the person who transcends everything. This amazing Lord said this. And he exemplifies his own teaching, doesn't he? It is more blessed to give than to receive. He gave himself and happily yielded to the will of God in doing so. It was costly. The agony recognized and read of when our Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as you will. And he yielded to the will of the Father. How was it that Paul, as he said goodbye to his beloved friends, he could summarize this whole ministry of his? Well, he could, because he would say this: I therefore testify to you that I am innocent of the blood of all men. I've not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. I've kept nothing that was helpful, he said in verse 20, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. It was the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus that saved him and commissioned him to be a herald of the gospel, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that's what we must do, my friends. Remember the words of Jesus. We bring the word of God to mind in everything that we do, because we acknowledge that he transcends everything. How can he be excluded from any area of your life? The answer is he can't be. He can't be. Now we know, don't we? We don't need reminding that this nation is on a downward path, is it not? We are in a post-Christian country. And I tell you what will not help to reverse this is that you and I be content by being nominal Christians. No, that won't do. Not at all. Because I say this to you, and I mean it really seriously, nominal Christianity is no Christianity at all. So don't allow the specious error of nominalism to gain access to your heart. Truly committed believers in Jesus give everything to him and look only to him and say, as they hear his word, it is more blessed to give than to receive. They say yes and amen. And let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to heed it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh Lord our God, if we've been wounded by your word, do that healing work, we pray, and give us that resolve and determination to heed the words of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now may his grace and mercy be upon us all. Amen.